We're holding on the stomach. The Alam Bey is the Mishnah.
They have
it from
the
back of the wall. Come on, it's a mace. I think we're holding on the Mishnah. Do we do all the rush? Yeah. Come on, the person finds a mace buried.
Good morning, how are you, Rabbi
Rani? Baruch Hashem. So, the word mitchila is questionable. So he finds a mace. Mushkov kedarkai. So it's lying in the kever in the normal fashion. So he finds a mace somewhere in a field. So we can assume that it wasn't put there to remain there, and therefore there's no issur of moving in the mace. When a mace is put in it to be buried for its permanent burial place, you may not move it, but in a case where it was put there temporarily to be moved, eventually you're allowed to move it. So he finds this mace unbeknownst before that there's a mace here, and he happens to find a mace in a field. We assume it was not put there for a permanent burial in the middle of nowhere. So he's allowed to move it. But best to sasa, the law is he takes with it. When he's taking the mace, he takes what's called the tusa, the ground underneath, which we can assume it has absorbed some of the liquids from the mace. That ground, that loose ground, should be taken with the mace also when they move the mace. Shnayim, if he finds two in a field, still not best tefusa. He's allowed to move them together with their tefusa. However, if he finds three, he has to be concerned that maybe this was designated as a burial area for these people. That's why there's three mesim there. So three already creates a potential for a chashash. It's happened three times. We have to assume that there is a reason why it's here. But since we know how they used to bury, if it's going to fit, he's going to find them in a way that they fit into the normal burial practice when they would make a burial area. So we say, okay, now we know that we found the burial area. If they're found in such a way that they're not part of the way you would normally make a burial area, shkunas kavoris, so then they're just random and you're allowed to move them. So based on the way that they would set up their shkunas kavoris, if you'd find three mesim within the shkunas kavoris, they're going to be buried with some space in between them, but not a lot. So if there's too little space in between, we have to assume that they were not put there to be part of a makam kavoris, a shkunas kavoris, and therefore again they're still random. If there's too far a distance between them, they're not connected to each other. Then again, it's not a shkunas kavoris. So what's the shear? Midalat amas vatshmarna. If the gap is at least four, the total you're going to have between the three of them is finding them within a range of four amas vatshmarna and up to eight amas. Raise the shkunas kavoris. So you've created a status of shkunas kavoris. We have to assume that they were put there as a mokum kavura. This became a burial area. And you're not allowed to move them. And furthermore, once we found three mesim in a shkunas kavuris, there's a good chance there are other mesim. There's a little. He's bukhiv dibodik hemenu lahalon esim ama. So he has to check from where these are 20 amas in all directions. And Motzeach b'Sof Esrim Amo, if he found something within 20 amas, again, indicates, like we're saying, there's a Shchunas Kavodus, and maybe there's even more. But a Kamen al-Halon Esrim Amo. And the reason why this mission is here, because it parallels the mission which we had at the beginning of the parak of the concept of Raglaim Adabra. Now that we see this is what is happening, there is what the reason to believe this Raglaim Adabra, that this is buried to be a Shkunas Kavaris. But have this mace which you find, in separately from all the other ones, 20 amas away from everything else, had you just found it by itself, you would have assumed that it's not buried, it's not placed there to be part of a Shkunas Kabordas, and therefore you're allowed to exhume it and move it somewhere else. And now that you found it in conjunction with these multiple mesim, we have to assume that it was placed there to be Shkunas Kabordas, and once it's a Shkunas Kabordas, you're not allowed to move it. So that's the Raglaim Adabra. From the context that it's found, there's a Raglaim Adabra that this is placed there to be there intentionally and it cannot be moved. Is that the Rush? So on the Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah, person finds a mace bitchila shlohayu yudeya shohayu shom kever. So the word moitze is more says pratla motze pratla, the case where it was known that it was there, but he happens to find it there. Lushiv kedarka muor farish lumutei ma. The more says that we're coming to exclude various different ways that it's laid in the kever, which would have different din. The more explains what those are. So we can assume that he happens to find the mace. That one random mace is there. It wasn't put there to when the tent to be its final resting place. You're allowed to exhume the body. But when you take it, you have to take it with a tusa. The other misham. You're allowed to exhume it and move it and bury it somewhere else. You take some of the dirt underneath as well. Kasherim afurish v'gemora, like the more explains, v'uhanikra tefusa. That's what's referred to as tefusa. The years of the Mishnah in Erlos is tefusa with the bays, not with the pay. But some bays and the pay are interchangeable. V'chedim what's the bays? Even if you found two, again, you can assume that it's random. Matzah Gimel, if you found three, so now it's not random anymore, but it depends. So we know the practice of how they would bury, they would make an area Shkunas Kavoris. So if they're found not fitting into that picture of what a Shkunas Kavoris is, so it's still random. But if you found three and it seems to me they're not, and they are buried in a way which fits the practice of how they would set up a Shkunas Kavoris, so then your hunch that now that this is something more not random is correct, and you have to leave them there. You cannot move them. So what are the practices? If the distance between these three Kavoris that he found is not less than Dalet Amos and not more than Eight Amos, Pirish Bikever Rishon Ad Hashlishi. If it's not less than four and it's not more than eight amas from the first kever till the third kever, we have assumed that this was designated as a Shunas Kabardis. They are put there with the intention of leaving them, that they should be buried there. And there's an Isser to then remove them. But the truth is, this halacha is not limited to Shkunas Kabardis. Even had it been just a single grave, if there was known and it's put there with intention that that should be its final burial place, it would have been also to move it. Ella shebechad obeys. If he finds only one or two, on the tell him shalonik berusham el lefi shaw. We can assume that randomly to leave a mace in the middle of a field is not normal intent. A good chance that he was just put there with intent to eventually move it. But he died to lefanoisim. And then they're planning to exhume it and move it somewhere else. That's you have a right to assume it's one or two. Alternatively, they were put there, a random one. You have to assume that maybe it's not really its malkum because maybe it was not put there with rishus. You found three. We assume it was designated as a place for kavoris. The they would dig like a vault, and then they would bury the mason in the walls, and the so it was like a cave. They would dig down and go into a cave, and they put it in the mason in the sides, and the urach of the mora of this cave that they would be burying in would be 8 amas long and 4 amas wide. So if you find mason in that measurement, not less than 4, not more than 8, these 3 mason, so we assume that this is a normal burial place. Now, the Rosh is Kivloi Mitabekareh Lo Yosin and Hacha. The Gears of Kivloi Mitabekareh, which some have in the Mishnah, the Rosh is incorrect. Where does it belong? The Mishnah in Sefer Zvah Basra, which discusses many of the lachas of Mechira. So one of the lachas of Mechira talks about if Reuben is selling to Shimon an area to be designated for the purpose of a basic kavoris, for a shkunas kavoris, so what does he have to provide him with? How much property does he have to provide? So there it discusses the measurements. And there it says the language of that the area of the chotzer is 7 by 7, which is the length of the meat of the person and those who would be there to bury it. So the standard, the way the Mishnah says over there, there were whether there were 2 ma'aris or 4 ma'aris, each ma'ara would have, but the places where the mason were put on the walls were called kuchim. So a ma'ara would be 8 amas deep, 4 amas wide, and then it would have going off in the sides into the walls, they would place them into the walls of the sides of the mora, 3 on each side, the length of the 8, and then 2 in the back, and the width of the 4, according to Tanakama. And then there'd be another, so let's say that would be one on the east side, and there'd be another one on the west side, the same size, and then there'd be a chotzer in the middle. They would come, which will allow them access into the ma'aris. They would come down steps into the chutz, and then from the chutz they would go into the mora on the right or the left. And they left. They made the chutzer the shear of be able to put the mace down and say hes, whatever it was. Then they would go inside into the mora and put them inside the kuch. So the measurement wasn't relevant to the mora because there they would from the chutz they would go straight and directly put them into the burial air slot that they had made for him. So the size of the menorah was just was based on the amount of kvaros they want to put on the walls, whereas the chatzar was made based on the space they would have room for the people to gather around the mitzvah. So it's two different functions. So which is the discussion of our mission, the chatzar, we're not discussing the chatzar here, we're discussing the menorah. So Klamitim Kabrera is not relevant.
Whoever you are, still
hope you can picture that. Correct. So I don't remember the shoe being 7x7, but now I'm trusting the rush on the that call collected. The shoe was actually 8, but I remember it being 8x6.
Which is very close to the same area as 7x7.
Right. Yeah, 48 or 49. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, so if we find the mason placed in the fashion where it would indicate it was a Shkunas HaKavardus, so now we're boiling that maybe there are other Shkunas HaKavardus nearby. So you have to be boiling for 20 Amos. The Hanashir Aruch Beis Ma'aris HaKotzer. So that gives you 2 Ma'aris and 1 Chotzer in the middle. So Morris says a parakamarka parak over there in Babasa asks, well, Eli Mikram Shimon the Omar Urakham Orakes the Chatzer Vov Esmatartin Havian, it should be 22. V Rabban and Damri Urakham Ora Vov the Chatzer Vov Yurkes Havian. So why 20? It should either be 18 or 22. Either the mortar was 6 deep or 8 deep. The chotzer was 6, according to everybody. So if the but either should end up being 22 or 18, why 20? Well, good luck to Rabbanan. The mortar says going to Rabbanan. Can the bodak by lachsen? So it's relevant according to the Rabbanan, the possibility of 20, because going from a straight line from one shkuna to the other shkuna through the chatzar, you're right. So if he found the mason, he found were over here all the way to the end, he's going to travel 20 amas till he finds the mason at the other end. He's really travel 18, but we don't know that. We're not convinced that necessarily there's a straight line. Maybe he'll end up going off a little bit, veering off a little bit. So allowing for the difference of the diagonal, so we gave him a little bit of extra space to the allowing for the possibility that he was going on a diagonal through one of the Morris. Okay, or the Morris is in Golak Rib Shimon, and what they're bearing there were not fully developed people, but Nephilim, and therefore the space that they would allow for that would be a little bit less. So why are you asking based on the two sheets of how to describe whether it's 8 or 6? It's only, the more says, if it's only Kibbutz Shem on this, go only Kibbutz Shem on that. I have a better problem. It says clearly in the Mishnah that the measurement of the Shechunah is 8. Because he brought it from 4 to 8. So we're going to Kibbutz Shem. It's only Adches, Alma Erechem Oreches. So then simply, just don't say, well, if it's Rabban on this or Rabban on that. There's no way for it, if it's Rabban on that. Once you've told me that your measurement of you're looking for the first stage is from 4 to 8, means you're going like Rav Shimon. So then the next question is, well, it's 8 plus 8 plus 6, which is 22. But there's no animus. Rabban on is 18. That's the Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the Shema, Sirle, the Chotz, and the Rechava, Ki'im, Dalit, Al Dalit. That based on the Mishnah alone, we don't know how large the Chotz was. So maybe 20 is correct. But now that we, but Rav Shimon says not like that. The chotzer is vav. That's why you have to ask the kasha based on Rav Shimon. And then I'm assuming that the end of the thought, according to the Rush, is therefore the Morris says, well, once that's true, I can ask you, according to the Rabbanan as well, the Chari should have been 18, even though the Gemara over there says the truth is even in the Rabbanan, the possibility of 8 is really possible.
There was no chance that they were going to
Even if the shkuna is 6 by 6, the diagonal in the shkuna is 8. So if you have a triangle where the two legs are 6, so the square of both of 6 is 36. 36 is 72. The square root of that is a little bit over 8. 64 is so because 9 already is 81. So it's 8 plus. So if you go across a little bit of the angle, it's possible to have a cheshbon of 8. But I'm not alone. Chafama. In the Dharma Sofen, came in a Mizrach Lamarav. You measure from this one that you found. If you say maybe this is the south one, so you go to the north. Came in a Mizrach Lamarav. You also go east to west. The Safkalon Ezo Roich of Amora. We don't know exactly where these are placed, that these are the beginning. In other words, he finds Mason like this. Maybe this was the Mason right here, and this is where the Shechunah was in the Chatzar and another Shechunah. Maybe the Mason were the end side of this one, and really the Shechunah was here, and the Chatzar was here, and the other Shechunah was here. Maybe the Mason were the ones which were on the side. So now, maybe the Shechunah was here, and the Chatzar was there. So we have to measure in all directions. So we have a Suffolk. The Chet Zorg Lutok Mitzad Echad Chof Amma Min Atzafel Dharma Min Atmara of the Mizruch Mitzafel on the Ezit Tzad Hoya Chotzer Bamur Habetz. We have a simon based on where the head is. So if there was a standard practice, if they put in the feet first or they put in the head first, we would know which direction we have to look. So the standard practice was to put the head in first. So we just have to measure based on the direction where the feet are. So we say the mason were placed like this, and here are the heads. I don't have to check this way. This is the end. The feet are here. I mean, this was where the shkuna was, and this is where the chotzer was, and this is where the other shkuna is. Now, regards to this way or that way, you haven't eliminated anything, but regards to the direction, the other direction, basically where the heads are, they don't have to check. Once you found somebody in the distance of Chof, so we say, oh, they must have been using this field for quorum. Maybe there are more. How you bought, there's a gist over here, Gam. Not Gimel, but Gam. Morris Acheris. Mishum Reglam Medover, Tana Kol Hani, Mishnayas Hacha, Kulan Shnias, Bimakaiman, Ragam Gurachan, Tanon Lakha. Each one of these Mishnayas, which Mishnah is going to bring, because they all have in common the concept of Reglam Medover, but each one is also found somewhere else, but with their agav, they're mentioned over here because of the concept of the Reglam HaDover. Okay, let's hold it here.